A box of evidence sits in a storage room for 30 years. Nobody touches it. The assumption is simple. Technology will catch up, and when it does, the answers will be waiting. That assumption has destroyed more cold cases than any criminal ever could. The National Institute of Justice has confirmed it directly. Cold case evidence is often lost, not because it became scientifically useless, but because it was never properly preserved, was destroyed, or was inadequately documented. That distinction matters enormously. The science can advance. The sample cannot come back from nothing. Think of it this way. A detective in the mid-1990s seals a biological swab in a paper envelope, logs it with a handwritten number, and files it under a case designation. Call it File 94B. The chain of custody looks complete on paper, but paper degrades, ink fades, storage conditions fluctuate. And when a new investigator pulls that file decades later, what they find is a gap where certainty used to be. This is the preservation trap, Tina, and it is the central wound in the Yolanda cold case files. The National Institute of Standards and Technology has been explicit. The usefulness of biological evidence depends heavily on how it was collected, packaged, stored, and documented. Evidence preservation is an investigative issue, not an administrative task. Those are not the same thing, and treating them as equivalent is where the 1995 chain of custody protocols failed. The result was a 30-year investigative bottleneck built not from a lack of leads, but from a failure of process. Now, the key idea here is something called consolidation bias. Early investigators arrive at a scene with a working theory. That theory shapes what they collect, what they label as significant, and, critically, what they leave behind or fail to document. Once that narrative hardens, it becomes the lens through which every subsequent investigator reads the file. The original sin of File 94B is precisely this. The scene was processed through a single interpretive frame, and samples that fell outside that frame were either not collected or not preserved with the same rigor. The National Institute of Justice confirms that when a cold case is reopened, investigators must determine what evidence still exists and whether it remains suitable for independent testing. Relevant DNA evidence may not have been preserved or may have been destroyed before the case was reopened. That is not a forensic failure. That is a documentation failure that happened on day one. The takeaway from modern forensic science is both hopeful and brutal at the same time. Hopeful, because the NIJ has confirmed that some crime scene samples once considered unsuitable for testing can now produce usable DNA profiles. Previously inconclusive DNA results may become interpretable when retested with newer methods. Forensically valuable DNA can sometimes be recovered from evidence that is decades old. Brutal, because none of that applies to evidence that no longer exists. This is why the 48-hour anchor rule matters so much in cold case methodology. The first 2 days after a crime are when biological and contextual markers are most recoverable, most documentable, and most defensible in court. Miss that window without rigorous documentation, and you are not just losing today's analysis. You are foreclosing every future technology that hasn't been invented yet. The NIJ's special report on using DNA to solve cold cases makes this point without softening it. DNA evidence connects a crime scene, a victim, and a suspect even when eyewitness memories and other leads have faded, but only if the sample survived. Remember this, Tina. The first responder's fallacy is the belief that someone else, later, with better tools, will fix what wasn't done right at the start. It is the most dangerous assumption in cold case forensics, and it is the assumption that shaped the early handling of the Yolanda files. The NIJ is clear that a laboratory report should identify whether remaining evidence samples exist for possible independent testing, and that documenting the existence or absence of remaining samples helps address later challenges to the reliability of the investigation. That rule exists because investigators kept learning the same lesson the hard way. Cold case investigations benefit from combining physical evidence, databases, updated forensic testing, and renewed investigative analysis, not from waiting on a single breakthrough that may never come. The Yolanda files are a case study in what happens when preservation is treated as paperwork rather than strategy. In the lectures ahead, we will trace exactly how that original failure compounded, what evidence survived, and what modern tools like forensic genetic genealogy and the NAMUS identification system can still do with what remains.